Om Vishnu Om Tat Sat Adya Brahmana Dvitiya Parardhe Shri Shvetavaraha Kalpe Vaivasvata Kya Manvantare Ashtavingshati Kali Yogasya Pratama Sandhyayam Sapta Trinshad Adhika Panchas Shatatame Gaurabde Uttarayane Grishma Rito Vaishakha Masi Shukla Pakshe Mesha Rachi Stite Bhaskare Buddhavaranvitayam Punarvasu Nakshatra Sanyutayam Saptami Titau Bhumandale Jambudvipe Bharata Varshe Bharata Khande Medhi Bhutasya Sumeror Dakshine Lavarnarnavasyotare Kone Srimati Godarvarya Shubha Dakshine Tamil Narda Iti Namadheye Mandalantaragate Karumandarai Iti Namadheye Grame Jagadguru Om Vishnu Pada Stotar Sata Sri Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Prabhupada Anukampita Priya Parshad Pravara Antarashtriya Krishna Bhavanamrita Sangha Pratishta Tri Nitya Lila Pravishta Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Parivrajaka Acharya Stotar Sata Sri Srimad Abhai Charanarvinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Anugrihita Tridandi Swami Srimad Bhakti Vikasha Iti Namadeya Ham Sri Krishna Priti Artang Sri Vishnu Sahasranama Stotra Vyakhyane Pravartaye. What was that all about? Those of you who have attended Vedic or Vaishnava Sanskaras done in a formal way, or deity installations, Vedic weddings, in all such occasions, formal occasions, such a sankalpa, what I just stated is called a sankalpa, is stated at the beginning of the actual ceremony. There may be preliminary ceremonies. I recited this to make the point that in Vedic culture there is a distinct consciousness of time and space. I'm doing that particularly on this talk because in this talk I'm continuing the discussion of time in relation to Vishnu Sahasranam, name 897, Sanat. I've been covering the understanding and various concepts of time within Vedic culture, within secular culture historically, to help us to get a broader understanding of this mysterious entity, if you will, may not want to call it an entity, we have to call it something, this mysterious phenomenon known as time, which in Vedic culture is known to be none different from Vishnu. So what was that Sankalpa mantra that I just spoke at the beginning of this talk? Om Vishnu. That is the beginning of any mantra recited by Vaishnavas, at least invoking Vishnu. Om Tat Sat. These three words, as we learn from the 17th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, they are invoked in any auspicious occasion. And then, what did I say? Adya Brahmana Dvitiya Parardhe. Adya, today. Brahmana Dvitiya Parardhe. In previous talks, we discussed how Brahma's life is divided into two sections. So today, all these statements, they ascertain precisely the time and the space that we are in. So in time, we are in the second half of Brahma's day, Sri Shvetavaraha Kalpe. We are in the day of Brahma in which Shvetavaraha, the white form of the hog form of the Lord, appeared. Vaivasvata kya manvantare. In each day of Brahma, there are 14 Manus, the present. Manu is known as Vaivasvata Manu, and therefore we are in the Manvantara, which is known as the Vaivasvata Manvantara, or period of existence of a particular Manu. Ashtavinshati Kali Yugasya Pratama Sandhyayam. Within the Vaivasvata Manu, in that period, we are in the 28th Kali Yuga, in the first section of the 28th Kali Yuga. And now, according to the specific calendar that we are using, because within Vedic culture there are many calendars, but we are using the calendar Gaurabdha, which is in relation to Lord Chaitanya and his appearance. Sapta Trinshad Adhika Pancham Shatatame. So in the year of the Lord, the year of Lord Chaitanya, we've passed 537 of years since his birth, and therefore we're in that year. Uttarayane, in the Uttarayana, that's when the sun is in the northern course. Grishma Rito, in the hot season or the summer. Vaishakha Masi, in the lunar month of Vaishak. Shukla Pakshe, in the bright fortnight. The months here, we're talking about the lunar month, so the lunar month has the bright fortnight when the sun is waxing, and the Krishna Paksha, when the moon is waning. So right now, today, I'm speaking in Vaishakha Masa, the summer season, in the Shukla Paksha. Mesha Rasi Stite Bhaskare, in the solar sign of the Mesha Rashi, solar sign of the ram. Buddha Var Anvitayam, on the weekday of Buddha, that's not Lord Buddha who you see meditating, that's spelled slightly differently. That's equivalent to Mars. Punarvasu Nakshatra Sangyutayam, in the Punarvasu Nakshatra, the constellation. Saptami Tito, in the lunar day known as the Saptami, the seventh day within the cycle of 15 days, we are in the seventh day in the bright fortnight. Then where are we? We're in Bhumandal, in Jambadvip, in Bharatavarsha, in Bharatakanda. If you want to know what all this means, go and look in the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam. You can try and work it all out. Medhi Bhutasya Sumera Dakshine, in the tract of land which we can translate as being the earth, south of Sumeru. Lavan Arnavasyotare Kone, in the northern portion of the salty water sea. Shimati Godavarya Shubhadakshine, in the auspicious area south of the Godavari River. Tamil Nada Itinamadeya Mandalantaragate, in the area known as Tamil Nada, and in the village Karumandurai. So there you go. And then what else did I say? Jagar Guru Om Vishnu Padashtotar Sada Sri Srimad Bhakti Siddhan Saraswati Goswami Prabhupada Anukampita Priya Parshad Pravara Antarashtriya Krishna Bhavanamrita Sangha Pratishta Tri Nitya Lila Pravishta Ong Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Parivrajaka Charyashtotara Satasri Srimad Abhaycharna Ravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Anugrihita Sri Ranglid Swami Srimad Bhaktivikasha Iti Namadheya Hung Sri Krishna Prityartam Sri Vishnu Sahasranama Stotra Vyakhyane Pravartaye. Which means that, to shorten it all down a bit, the foremost among the dear and favored disciples of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is the founder of ISKCON, our own Abhaycharan Aravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who has now entered the eternal pastimes of the Lord, describing myself as a Tridandi sannyasi, favored by Srila Prabhupada, by the name of Bhaktivikasha, and for the sake of the pleasure of Sri Krishna, I am engaged in the recital and the explanation of Sri Vishnu Sahasranama. So that's the sankalpa, or the statement of intent. In this particular time, in this particular place, I, who am also defined in this way, everything is minutely defined in relation to time and space and our own position in society, in this case in Vaishnav society, we are making such and such an undertaking. So this kala nirnaya, assertion of time or consideration of time, it's central in Vedic culture for all the followers of the Vedic culture, whether they're Vaishnava, Shaiva, Shaurya, Garnapatya, Shakta, Tantric. Well, are Tantrics in Vedic culture? Big question. All activities have to be calculated astrologically as to what is the best time to do it. Of course, in the praising of Lord Vishnu, the best time to do it, what's the best time to praise Lord Vishnu? Every moment of every day and every night. Although one may find in the Vaishnav scriptures, for instance, that during the Kartik months, it is most auspicious to worship Lord Vishnu. But Srila Prabhupada explained that that statement is to entice people who think that bhakti is subject to time, place, and circumstance. They think you get more benefit from doing it in Kartik. Whereas, actually, people who are already fully engaged in Krishna consciousness, they see every moment as a time to engage in Krishna service. Of course, our acharyas have always recommended to observe Kartik observances, Ekadashi observances, and so on and so on and so on. We'll find within the whole of Hinduism, using that broad term, which is conventionally used to mean the Vedic culture and all the Vedic culture has come to be, there is a massive understanding of the point of every moment in every day, every month. They all have their specialties. Certain days, certain times are good for certain activities and not good for certain other activities. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, at a young age, at the behest of Srila Jagannath Das Babaji, compiled the Navarip Dham Panjika, to help Gaudiya Vaishnavas to follow all the seasonal, monthly, fortnightly, weekly, and within each day, all the different observances according to the proper times. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was a great astrologer. He largely, but not fully, retired from that, because he would also calculate times for setting out on travel. Our own Srila Prabhupada, he was very strict about not leaving a place, not starting a journey during the Bar Bela. Bela is Bengali pronunciation of Vela, which is another word for time in Sanskrit. Srila Prabhupada is very conscientious about not starting a journey, especially on Thursday afternoon, because that is very auspicious for travel. Here in South India, there is consciousness of the Rahu Kalam, the time in each day which is governed by Rahu, which is not at all favorable for doing, or particularly starting, auspicious activities. All of this applies within the realm of karma, but of course we may think, well, I'm a devotee, but we operate within the realm of karma. For instance, you may think, well, I'm a devotee and Krishna will protect me, but if rain is scheduled to fall and we happen to go outside, then we're going to get wet. The rain is supposed to fall at that time, and we can't expect Krishna to bring an umbrella and hold it over us or stop the rain. He may do. We know in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes that when all the devotees one time were about to start kirtan outside and thunder clouds rumble and it appeared there was going to be rain, that Lord Chaitanya clapped his hands and chased the clouds away. So it may happen, but we can't expect Krishna to personally intervene to change the whole universe just for our convenience. So that's why astrology, if we have a competent astrologer, can also help us to plan, to make decisions, especially in important matters, such as starting a business, going into a major business venture, especially for marriage, who you're going to marry astrologically based on their birth time and place. Of course, there are many other factors also. The time for marriage, it should be during what, like we have here in India, the marriage season. There are whole stretches of weeks and weeks where no Hindu marries, because it's an inauspicious time for marriage, and then particular days are favorable, and it will vary according to the persons who are going to get married, and so many different things. I don't know the details of it whatsoever, but having lived in India most of this life, and especially being tuned in to the religious culture, I am aware of it to some extent. Every day there are different, in the broader Vedic culture, every day there are different demigods to be worshipped, different times of day for different times of things. I'm going to be speaking about this time, observance of various times in Vedic culture, with special respect to Varanasi, Banaras, Kashi, according to a book which was written by Professor Diana Eck in 1983 about Banaras, and the title of the book is Banaras. And that's 40 years ago, and no doubt India has made huge strides into the modern world in the last 40 years, but we can also be sure that if we go to Banaras, which is considered both in India and outside India as the epicenter, or if you like, the capital city of quote-unquote Hinduism, we'll find that these practices and these observances are still going on, and all over India, to a greater or lesser extent. Like much of quote-unquote Hinduism, the Hindu preoccupation with time in ritual observances is foreign in the fullest sense of the term to people who are not part of this culture, who haven't been raised in this culture. The idea of auspicious times and inauspicious times, it doesn't mean anything to them. And of course, within India, there are so many people who consider themselves humanists or atheists, and they say, I don't believe in astrology or this and that. But like I say, up to the present time, most marriages in India are arranged marriages, and among Hindus, consulting the astrological chart of the would-be bride and groom and comparing them is essential before the vagdan, or the engagement, giving of the word, before the engagement takes place, what to speak of the marriage. And certain days are good for weddings, other days are better, and another day or time is good for traveling. Various demigods, Shiva, worshipped on some days, especially some days for Vishnu, some days for Ganesh. Every day is special for something, and most days have some drawbacks also. Just like a few days ago was Akshaya Tritiya. Tritiya means the third day of the month, and this particularly comes in this month, the Vaishak month, in the Shukla Tithi, in the bright fortnight. And Akshaya means unending. So it's considered that anything that starts on this day is going to be very auspicious. It's going to be unending, or at least partake of the quality of unendingness. So it's a good day for founding a business. It's a good day, particularly in Hindu culture, it's a good day for buying gold, and all the gold shops will be packed, for particularly on this day. How can you keep track of all this with 365 days in a year generally? How do you keep track of all of this with every single day having its pros and cons? Well, I mentioned the Navadvip Dham Panjika, which is, Panjika is sometimes translated as an almanac. In Bengali, it's called Panjika, and in North India, it's called, in the Hindi-speaking area, it's called the Panchang. So you can get these every year. Sometimes you get a thick book like this, and every single day has, in small print, you'll find so much information. And what's more, just like we have the Navadvip Dham Panjika, although some days are going to be pretty much the same throughout India, just like Janmashtami is going to be the same day, but throughout India, but maybe in another part of India or another part of the world, Janmashtami will fall on a different day, because all these auspicious days, they are according to what we sometimes call the lunar calendar, but it's not really, it's a lunar cum solar calendar, in which there are 12 months, but then the 12 months, because they're the months of the moon, they're shorter than in the solar calendar, the months. So this, the, if we have only the lunar calendar, it gets out of synchronization with the solar calendar. And that's why every year, such as this year, not every year, usually every 3 years, an intercalary month is inserted. That means an extra month is inserted so that Janmashtami falls pretty much the same. It's around the same time every year, but it's not exactly the same day. Like we have Christmas on the 25th of December, but Janmashtami is sometime toward the end of the rainy season in Bhadrama. It's the eighth day of the waning moon in the month of Bhadra, and that changes because the lunar calendar is not in sync with the solar calendar, but it's more or less around the same time every year. So you need, and it's calculated just like in Varanasi, it's calculated according to the position of the planets as extrapolated from astronomical calculations, as extrapolated according to Banaras. And in Navadvip, it's according to Navadvip. And that's why in every place, the day, according to the Vedic understanding, will start at a somewhat different time. Well, the sunrise will be different in each place, that's for sure. But if we're following the sunrise different time, yeah, it's going to be slightly different, even if you go 10 miles away in any direction. If you go north, south, east, or west of Navadvip, the sunrise is going to be slightly different. And if you go 200 kilometers west of Navadvip, it's going to be a few minutes later than Navadvip when the sun rises. So you have to have the Panchang or the Panjika, the almanac, according to a particular place, which becomes pretty tough if you're going to have everything exactly right, which is one reason why traditionally one class of brahmanas, they were astrologers. That's what they did, because they would calculate daily according to the place. What is the best time for doing this? What is the forbidden time for doing this? People would come and ask about performing ceremonies such as Shraddh or Namakaran. And the according to the place, the astrologer would have to calculate and give the right time. They may not only be astrologers, they may double up as Purohits or priests or whatever, but a basic topic of understanding of Brahmanas was astrology, and some would especially specialize in that. And certainly every king in his court would definitely need the court astrologer, and so on and so on and so on. To help us in the modern age, we have printed, well, the Navadvip Dham Panjika is not such a very big book, but you see some. You'll see them, they're sold. These panchangs, they're sold in shops at the beginning of a new year or just around the time of a new year. And again, the new year, it's going to be different in different parts of India, because there's the Bengali New Year begins on Pahila Vaishakh, the first day of the Vaishakh month, which we're now in. And then we have the Samvatsara, the Vikram Samvat is in North India and Gujarat. They have their own beginning on the New Year's Day. Is the day after Deepavali or on the Govardhan Puja, Anarkut Day. And in Kerala we have Onam, and then we have the Ugadi for the Telugu, and on and on in different parts of India. The different new year, so a different date for the new year, and then in different parts of the country you have these panchangs, and every day there'll be so many details, and you need to have some technical knowledge even to be able to read it at all. And it's not like a calendar or a diary that you get in the regular Western style, which is empty and you have to fill it up. It's already full up before the time is lived or experienced, that this time is going to be auspicious, that time is for certain activities, it's inauspicious for other activities, according to the month, the fortnight, the day, and even the moments as they lie ahead. So already in advance, for the conscientious Hindu, time is not just something that we wade into or that overcomes us, but already kala nirnay, ascertainment of time. We already have a good idea of what's coming up and how to interact with that time, even before it comes upon us. In the Panchang, there is consideration of the Tithi, the lunar day, and the Vara, the solar day. The solar calendar in the Western Gregorian calendar has a cycle of 7 24-hour days and 12-month yearly cycles. Each month in the Vedic calendars, because again there are different calendars, there's the Gujarati calendar, the Telugu calendar, the Bengali calendar. Apart from the Bengali calendar, there's the Gaurabda, which we have starting from the birth of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And of course, that doesn't get treated in the Hindu calendars, but there's also the Hijri calendar of the Muslims, which is followed by the Muslims all over India and throughout the world. So within each month, there are two pakshas, the Shukla paksha, the bright fortnight, in the Gauriya tradition known as the Gaura paksha, and the dark fortnight, that means when the moon is waning, is called the Krishna paksha. Here Krishna means dark or black. Paksha literally means a wing. That's one of the meanings of the dark fortnight. The Krishna paksha moves towards and terminates on the new moon, the day of the new moon. That's the day following which the moon will be at its smallest sliver. That's called Amavasya. And the Shukla paksha, the bright fortnight, the days move toward the last day of the Shukla paksha, is the Purnima, on which night is the full moon. In North India, the months end on the Purnima, in most of North India. And especially in South India, the new moon day is the end of the month. The solar days are described by the name, just like we have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So we have similar, just like I was saying Budvar, so that's named after Bud. So we have, just like the same follows. Sunday is, throughout India, in most of the languages at least, Sunday is called Ravivar, which means, it exactly means Sunday. Monday is Somvar, which means moon day. And it goes on like that. Mangalvar, Budvar, Brihaspativar, or Guruvar, Shukravar, Shanivar. Did I say them all? Ravi, Som, Mangal, Bud, Guru, Shukra, and Shani. Yeah, that's it. That's the 7 days of the week. So these are the personalities which can be known as the sun, the moon. Yeah, Mars is Mangal. And Mercury is Buddha. Shukravar is Shukra. Venus. And Shani is Saturn. So this is especially observable, if you want to observe it, in Kashi, Varanasi. Because each day throughout the year has its own specialty. The weekdays of the solar calendar are reserved. Sunday is for worshipping the sun. Monday, people especially go to Shiva temples. Tuesdays and Saturdays, these are days ruled by deities who can cause much harm. So those deities have to be propitiated on those days. Also, Hanuman is worshipped on this day because he is Sankata Mochana. He is the one who frees us from dangers. Devi is also worshipped because it's dangerous. She's a very dangerous person, the Devi, the presiding goddess of the material world. And if you don't worship her, you'll get in a lot of trouble. This is the broader Vedic culture or Hinduism. Those of us who are aspiring Vaishnavas, we live by the dictum of faith in Krishna. Krishna says, Mame kam sharanam raja, ma shuchaha. Surrender to me, don't worry, I'll look after you. So like this, different days have different deities who are to be worshipped. And on certain days, it used to be that housewives would fast on certain days. At first, they wouldn't eat anything till the evening or maybe all day. Saturday, especially Shani, very dangerous. Better worship him, otherwise you're in trouble unless you take shelter of Krishna. And then there are the lunar days also. And to know what is the lunar day, it's easy to bear in mind which day is Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. But for the lunar days, they follow their own cycle. So you can't say that Monday is going to be such and such a day, a lunar day. We have the 7 days of the week named according to seven deities. But in the lunar days, it's simply, we have Pahila in Bengali, just like Pahila Baishak, or Pratipat, the day after Amavasya. Then we have Dvitiya, Tritiya, Chaturthi, which literally means first, second, third, fourth, like that, up to Purnima, which means the full moon day, and Amavasya. And then these days, they're also particularly associated with various goddesses, such as the third day of the fortnight of the Paksha is especially dedicated to the goddesses, such as Lakshmi Devi and Mangala Gauri. Chaturthi is associated with Ganesh. Ganesh Chaturthi comes just around the time, just after the Janmashtami. The Ashtami is for worship of Shiva and Shakti. That's particularly in the waning fortnight. The dark fortnight is particularly associated with the gods and the goddesses who oversee the darker aspects of existence. The Ekadashis are associated with Vishnu. Everyone knows, even non-Vaishnavas. They're days of fasting. Chaturdashi, we have Shivaratri. But any Chaturdashi in the dark fortnight is especially associated with Shiva. And the Shivaratri is particularly his appearance day, on which Hindus fast and they observe the all-night vigil, Jagaran. Tomorrow, as I speak this, is Janu Saptami, a day for worshipping Ganga. Of course, Ganga can, and particularly those who live on the banks of the Ganga, should be worshipped daily. But especially Janu Saptami is a day for worshipping Ganga. And anyone who lives close to the Ganga, they will go and worship the Ganga, have special pujas. In Kashi Varanasi, there are so many different deities, many, many deities of Lord Shiva, and they're all been worshipped since time immemorial. They're all in the Panchang for Varanasi. They're all taken note of, and even though all of them may not be systematically daily worshipped, at least once a year, people will go and clean them up a bit and worship them. Nothing's left out. Everything is worshipped during the course of the year. And the worship may be very simple. Bring some Ganges water, some flowers. And then of course, there are the various festivals which come throughout the year. There are so many, just like I mentioned, Janu Saptami. It comes in our Vaishnav calendar. Probably most devotees around the world, if they even take note of that, don't know what it is. Well, I just said what it is. It's just for worshipping the Ganga. There are special months, just like the month of Kartik is dedicated to Vishnu, and more specifically, even for the Vrindavan devotees, to Radharani. Ganga is worshipped, especially in Jyeshtha, hot months. This month, Vaishakh, and next is Jyeshtha, two hot months. Shiva in Shravan, and the Purushottam mass, the intercalary month, which comes usually every 3 years, that is very, it's called Purushottam, is very auspicious for worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. Among the smartas, or those who are materialistic followers of the Vedic rituals, they call it Mala Mass. They think it's very bad. You can't do anything auspicious in that time. Certain times of the year for going on pilgrimage. For instance, if one performs pilgrimage of Vrindavan, that is especially that's mentioned by Narayan Bhatta, that if one performs the 40-day pilgrimage of the whole Mathura area, that should be done just after Janmashtami, and it's most auspicious to do it at that time. And different timings may be there for different places, although in general, Ekadashi and Kartik are for worship of Vishnu. But there are so many divisions and subdivisions. In certain parts of the country, certain deities will be worshipped more. They're all over India, where there are various deities of Shiva and Parvati, which have their own local names and their own local customs and traditions. And people follow observances according to their local area, their local deities, according to their own caste. And they all have all their different special timings. And it's all very, very complex. It does make it easy just to surrender to Krishna. But we find in Krishna's pastimes, there's also a time for everything. Just like the gopis in Vrindavan, the young gopis who wanted to marry Krishna, they observed Katyayani Vrata. And it's a certain time of year where young girls have to worship Devi, Mahadevi, the personification of the material energy, female, wife of Lord Shiva. They worshipped her to get Krishna as their husband. So they follow all these things also. All these things are followed in Vedic culture. It's a complex culture, no doubt. And ancient, how ancient? Sanatan, Sanatan Dharma. Means Sanatan means that which just continues to exist. Everything will cease to exist when Vishnu breathes in, but then when he breathes out, Brahma, with his breath, with the breath of Vishnu, and eventually Brahma comes into being, with his breath comes the Vedas and the whole culture that goes with it. That's why in Vedic culture, or it used to be generally in Hindu belief before Hindus got ridiculously enamored with the so-called progress, which is a completely Western notion, the idea of progress by technology and mundane education. But the general Hindu belief is that if something is old, it's better. That's why we see when we go in Vrindavan, if you read in Hindi, you'll see some temples, it's written above them, Prachin Mandir, which means an ancient temple. With the idea is that if it's an ancient temple, it must be better than a newer temple. And the same thing is that if it's an ancient practice, it must be approved. It must be proper. It's not something that someone made up. If it's ancient, it's been approved since time immemorial. We have in the Gita also, Purvai Purvatarakritam, Krishna says, acting according to the ways that the ancient people acted. Evang Parampara Praptam, this knowledge, Krishna says, was received from the distant past. Anything which is in the past must be better. That's the general understanding, with the idea that contrary to the Western notion of progress, the unfolding of time is moving toward degradation. As we go from Satya Yuga to Treta Yuga to Dwapara Yuga and Kali Yuga. And in Kali Yuga, as I mentioned in the last talk, everything is degrading day by day. So if something is old, that means it's an old practice. This practice has been in vogue for eons, so it must be proper. It must be better. Of course, there can be problems with that because according to time, the Vedic literature recommend different processes, just like we have. Krite yadhyayato Vishnum. The best way to worship Vishnu in the Satya Yuga was by meditation upon him. But people are no longer capable of that, to do it in the proper way. Therefore, kalo tadhari kirtanat. In Kali Yuga, the process for God realization is chanting the names of Hari, Harinam. But the general understanding is that an older culture, it's something that's approved by great personalities throughout the eons. Therefore, it is authorized and proper. And that's also one of the kind of pramanas, which we find mentioned in the Bhagavatam and elsewhere. Pramanas means authoritative guides or strictures for understanding the nature of this world, and for conducting our lives. So one of those pramanas, we generally know the three, the Shabda Anuman, and we Pratyaksha, which means Vedic knowledge, Pratyaksha, sensory perception, beginning with the eyes, and Anuman, inference. But there are others also. And one of them mentioned in the Bhagavatam is Aitihya, which means tradition. Manu says that all doctrines which differ from the Vedas means they have come into being at a certain point in time, contrary to the Vedas, which are eternal. And because they've come into being at a certain point in time, they'll vanish away in a certain point of time. They're all worthless and false, according to Manu. If they're modern, although we think modern, modern, great, modern, but in the Vedic understanding, modern means bogus. And what does it mean, modern? It means in the ephemeral present, something which is just now. Adhunik, this is the word used in Sanskrit or used in Bengali. Adhunik is how the word modern is translated. It means of the present day. I'm quoting from a lecture that Srila Prabhupada gave in 1968 in Seattle. Srila Prabhupada said that the same movement, he's talking about what he himself is preaching, the same movement was preached by Lord Krishna. The same movement was preached by Lord Jesus Christ. The same movement we are also preaching, so there's no difference. Simply accepting the authority or the greatness of the Supreme Lord and engage ourselves. That's it. There is nothing new. You don't try to see something new. It is not new. It is the oldest. So you see, Srila Prabhupada is establishing the authenticity of what he is teaching because it is old. Not that I've got a great new idea, but Srila Prabhupada is saying, no, it's old and therefore it's authentic. It is the oldest because God is the oldest. You are the oldest. We're all eternal. And your relationship with God is also oldest. Therefore, this movement is also the oldest. You cannot manufacture anything new, Srila Prabhupada said. People are after something new. What new will you have? Everything is old. The sun is old. The world is old. The moon is old. The atmospheric change is also old. The seasonal changes. What is new there? Millions of years ago, there was the sun, and still the sun is there. At that time, the sun was hot. Still it's hot. At that time, people were dying. People are still dying. So what is new? It is simply a waste of time for manufacturing something new, a concoction. There is nothing new. The old law is doing. History repeats itself. So we may think, well, it's very modern. We've got space rockets and we've got iPads. All these things have come up in previous Kali Yugas. Nothing new. History repeats itself. What is history? If we look from a philosophical point of view, history is the annals of ignorance and stupidity, of ahara nidra bhayamaitunam cha. History is a history of eating, sleeping, mating and defending, janma mrityu jara vyadhi. It is a history of living beings getting born and dying and getting diseased at old age in the meantime. It is a history of various kings marching out. We have in the 12th canto of Bhagavatam, the Bhumi Gita, in which earth, the deity of the earth, speaks of the foolishness of various kings who think, I have conquered the earth. And she lists a whole list of names, and they've come and they've gone, and the earth remains as she is. So the history of this world is of great personalities becoming insects. And sometimes among the insects, one of them becomes a king. What will the world be like in 3,000 years, 5,000 years, 50 years, 100 years? People speculate. I can tell you, it'll be more eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, more birth, death, old age, and disease, more kings or presidents of countries becoming insects. It goes on and on and on and on. What should we understand from all this? Let's get out of time. Let's go beyond time. Let's go to the timeless, aksharam, beyond everything which has a beginning and an end. Let us go to Krishna. We'll discuss all these things gradually. In course of time, Krishna willing, Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kipa sindhubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Dante nitaya chunakang padiyo nipatya kritva chakha kushatam etad aham ravimi. He sadhava sakala eva vihaya durad goranga chandra charane kuruta anuragaha. Parivadatu jano yata tata va nano mukaro navayang vicharayamaha. Hari rasa madira madati makta bhuvi vilutama natama nirvishama. Parha piram natavaravapu karnayo karnikaram vibradvasa karnaka kapisha vaijayantim chavalam. Randran venor adhara sudhaya purayan gopa vrindayar. Rinda Ranyang Svapada Ramanam Pravishad Gita Kirtihi Shri Radhaya Pranaya Mahima Kidrisho Vanaya Iva Svadyo Yaidad Bhuta Madhurima Kidrisho Vamadiya Sokyang Chasyamad Anubhavata Kidrishang Veti Lobhat Tadbhavardya Samajani Shachi Garba Sindho Harindu. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama.